when I evaluate this year's run game, I mean, obviously there's definitely room for improvement. You know, we talk repeatedly as a staff and as an offense, you know, the ability to run the football smart. And I'm not just talking about scheme. I'm talking about, you know, the decision making, the attitude that carries over from two-back schemes to one-back schemes and all those types of things. So I think there was periods of this season that we ran the ball better. Our attempts have improved. I think we can still run it more than we have the last 2 years. But it's an area of focus for our offense, and we definitely need to do a better job. You know, I don't really pay a lot of creed to the fact that you need to run it as many times as you throw it, particularly when with our quarterback. Our quarterback gives us, Aaron Rodgers gives us the ability to a number of different things at the line of scrimmage. So with that, it's really the production. If you look at history of our offense, as long as Aaron's been playing, the number of attempts, the rushing attempts has been a pretty good indicator of the success of his productivity when you tie those two together. So those are the numbers that I really pay attention to, because, you know, because when you don't hit the targets, you know, the attempts is the body blows. Obviously, the quality then comes. So quality obviously helps the quantity to get where it needs to be. But, you know, but as far as being 55, 45 and things like that, I don't really operate like that, which I did earlier in my career.
You know, you look at your football team, you possibly could take a hit with inside the locker room. Lose Charles Woodson, the gun driver, is no longer there, possibly Jimmy's don't come back. How does that affect your locker room?
Well, number one, I think, you know, Donald Driver, Charles Woodson, and you know, we'll see what happens with Greg Jennings. Greg is obviously in a business situation. But you don't replace Charles Woodson. You don't just go out and replace, you know, Donald Driver. And I'm talking about the type of people they are. Locker room culture is a moving, is something, it's a, I don't say a moving target, but it's something that's either growing or not growing. So it's important for the leaders, and particularly our young guys. Leadership's just not always designated by how many years you've been in the league or how good of a player you are. There's leadership opportunities in every man in that locker room. So it's important for our leadership to continue to grow, for our culture. We have a very healthy culture in our locker room. I mean, it's something that we pay close attention to. It's part of the process here in Indianapolis, gathering as much information about the people you're going to bring into that locker room. So Charles and Donald are special people, special players. So it's not trying to replace them. It's really putting the energy, the effort, the focus, the education on the individuals that are now there for that locker room to grow. Well, I think just like I've said, every one of them. I mean, I look for the youngest guy to the oldest guy. You know, I know when you look at our team, you have, you know, Aaron Rodgers now is the longest tenured Packer. So, you know, that's something that he's very conscious of and embraces the leadership role, you know, embraces the being, you know, the role of being the face of the franchise. But it's not all about Aaron being more of a leader than he is today. I mean, he needs to grow just like we all do, but it's all those guys. You know, whether it's a young guy like Morgan Burnett to continue to grow. You know, B.J. Raj, he's definitely a guy. Clay Matthews, I mean, he does it with his play. I mean, you go down on T.J. Lang, Josh Sitton, Brian Bulaga when he's healthy. I mean, we have a bunch of guys that it's their opportunity. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb really took a big step in a leadership role as a young player last year. So, I mean, he's definitely a model, an example I would use for a young man in his second year. You don't have to wait to your fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year to be classified as a leader. Leadership is from the top to bottom, and we need to do a better job of that as a football team.
Mike, did you ever say at midseason the read option is a growing trend, and we need to practice against this more, even though you might not be facing a team that particular week that was running it?
Well, our practice reps during the week are really focused on the individual. I mean, definitely there's a lot of conversation about the read option, rightfully so. 579, you know, that's a number that'll stick in our focus as a defense throughout the off season. We're studying the read option. The teams that are doing it in the NFL, we even are going to the college ranks. We'll have a couple college coaches come in, spend some time with our staff. Actually, our defensive staff is going to take a trip to Texas A&M. Kevin Sumlin, someone I have great respect for, and with his ability to share both, you know, from the offensive side and the defensive side, his experience in the read option. So it's something from an education preparation standpoint that we will grow as a staff and be better prepared for in the future.
Do you regret maybe not preparing more during the season then?
I don't regret anything about, you know, the last season. I mean, but then that's really what this time of year is for. Regret is something I think is an excuse. I don't really live in that mindset. You know, we've looked at our preparation. We looked at our performance. You know, we evaluate every aspect of our program. You look at the communication, player to player, player to coach, coach to coach. You look at the relationships, coach to coach, player to player, all the way through to the teaching, the demand of the coaches. So we go through an extensive evaluation every year, and there's more things in certain areas than there were in the past, and not as many things in certain areas that were in the past. So it's about getting better, it's about improvement, and we need to do a better job stopping the read option. That's definitely something we're focused on. Well, we're looking for what we look for every year. We're looking for good football players that definitely add to the culture of the Green Bay Packers. So And that never changes. You know, our personnel staff had the ability to, you know, stack the board in the pre-draft meetings or pre-Indy Combine meetings, you know, 17 days before. So we have that board, and we're down here gathering all, you know, all the information that we possibly can. The interviews are very important. So, and we'll stay true to our system.
Mike, you call the plays. Do you ever see a time where you won't call in the future, and what are the advantages for a head coach overseeing everything?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, I'll continue to call the plays. And I mean, there's advantages and of, you know, any type of responsibility, as whether you do or you don't. The reason why coaches call plays or call defense is probably because it's in the best interest of their football team. And there's and guys that don't call plays and manage the game, it's probably in the best interest of the football team. That's why head coaches are head coaches. So. That part of it won't change.
When you look at your evaluation, what separates you guys from San Francisco right now?
Well, you take a hard look at, you know, the two games at San Francisco that we played. You know, they beat us twice last year. You look at the difference in the first game and the second game. You know, and obviously the glaring statistic and the information in the second game was obviously the production of their quarterbacks. So. You know, you evaluate the scheme, you evaluate the fundamentals, and, you know, we need to improve, number one, as a football team. That won't change. We'll put tremendous emphasis and energy on our younger players, particularly the rookies, to take a big step in year two. That's something that we talk about every single year. Our players have bought into that. So we're really focused on ourselves, and you know, obviously player acquisition is a big part of but improving, and you know, those guys can come in and add competition to our football team. So San Francisco had a great year. We, you know, like I said, they beat us twice, and it'll definitely be a focus of our offseason.
Looking back at that game, what was difficult to defend that read option? Why did it give you guys so much trouble?
Well, I think it's like any time a team has success against you, you know, you go down and you look at the execution of it. So, you know, defense is about playing the leverage. It's about trusting the guy next to you, and particularly when you get into misdirection. Read option, obviously, you know, the extra gap is not accounted for because your quarterback is now part of the equation of running the football. So they executed it at a high level. We really had we had issues in the first half with the pass rush. You know, that's really what our conversation on the headsets were during the whole first half, and particularly halftime was the pass rush and keeping Colin in the pocket. And then obviously it became the read option more in the second half. I think it ran the read option four or five times in the first half. That wasn't, you know, wasn't a big impact. The big plays in the first half were particularly off of quarterback runs on pass plays, but then the second half we didn't handle very well.
On that, you know, you look at Miles Davis comes in with this run and shoot. Mm-hmm. We have a wildcat. That kind of thing. So now this read option. Is that here to stay? Is it a fad? What's your thought on that option?
Well, it's a scheme, and you know, I anytime I know when I go through experiences like this, I remember a conversation. Coach, I have great respect for Jimmy Ray. I think he's coached in this league for 100 years, played in the league. And I remember he told me in 1993, football is a cycle. You know, you're going to see things go, come in this league, go out of this league, show up in college football. And, you know, it's very important to try to stay on the front side of that cycle. So the teams that do, like San Francisco, you know, had the success with it this year, they obviously benefit from it. So, but you stay true to your preparation, and you know, obviously, we'll spend a lot of time on the read option defensively. We won't run it with our quarterback if that's what you're concerned about. So, but that's just the way you go about it. No. So. Sherrard's, he's there every day. I'm not seeing him in the training room every single day. So the surgery, we feel, is a success, and it's what he needed. So, yes, as far as the timetable, I haven't done very well, you know, trying to speculate on when guys are coming back or not. So I hope that he can work in the OTAs. Well, I mean, but he's in the injury category. I know it's magnified because where Derek was drafted, but the reality is he's coming through an injury. Yes, we'd like to get him on the field, but there's people that are playing. Marshall Newhouse, and so he needs to get back out there and compete, but he can't do that until he gets healthy. So it's unfortunate. I understand, once again, that where he was drafted brings magnitude to the focus, but I still have a lot of confidence that when he does have his opportunity that he'll be a productive player for us.
Time for two more questions.
Yeah, Jarrell Worthy. I mean, I think training camp is definitely going to be a stretch just because, you know, the timing of his injury. And so, you know, once again, I mean, he has to go through the process, the rehab process, and get healthy. You know, I like a lot of the things he did. He brings a lot of energy. There's a lot of things that he can improve on. And, you know, I definitely think he could be one of those players that makes a big jump in year two.
Last one, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we all definitely are very fond of John Dorsey in Green Bay, and you know, it's kind of funny being in the interview meetings last night. You know, John has the I always refer to him as Paul Harvey. You know, just the way he'd ask his questions, and because you know you're in there, you 30 interviews in a row, having John's voice always kind of made it a little amusing at some points. But he's a grinder. He's a hard worker. He really does a great job, you know, in the office. You know, the communication as far as the relationships, which is so important. It's a long season. I know he really enjoys being on the road. I don't know how he's going to structure that in Kansas City. He always had great passion for college football and evaluating college guys. And when he'd come back in town, it was always, hey, I saw so-and-so here. And so, you know, he has a lot of passion and great work ethic. You know, excellent family man. He's a great fit for the Kansas City Chiefs.